Like the crucial thing, and I think it's the most difficult thing that I encountered in different companies, it's to make the other departments understand the different markets, their needs, their capacity, to avoid copy and paste what we did in other markets. It would lead to a bad image, it would lead to demotivation of the team.
That helps you open and thrive in foreign markets. This is Steve here, your host speaking, and today I'm super pumped to welcome Cécile Farah, VP SaaS Expansion at Partoo. Partoo is an all-in-one SaaS solution designed for companies of all sizes to help them to keep up with the changing purchase experience and grow their business. Cécile joined the company about 2 years ago with the mission of taking over a multi-market scope to structure it from scratch and scale it. It took her close to 9 months to make some deep changes in the international team to be able to achieve a healthy growth in several markets. If you want to know how and why, stay tuned. Hi, Cécile. Thank you so much for joining in the International Corner podcast. How are you doing today?
Hi, Tiffany. I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course, it's my pleasure, and I'm really excited to deep dive with you today about your role and what you've been doing, you know, with your international team. But perhaps before digging into today's matter, could you introduce yourself for the audience, tell us a little bit more about Partoo and your role there?
Yes, of course. I'm Cécile. It's been about 10 years I'm working for companies to help them expand in terms of international scope, but also new features, new products. And mostly it's outside of France that I'm challenging the different companies and businesses. So I guess this is why we are here today for International Corner. At Partoo right now, I'm VP expansion, so it's been 2 years that I've helped them to structure the expansion team to make sure we identify the new market we want to go in and we develop them on a local scale. Of course, with a global approach to make sure that we can reach profitability. In terms of Partoo scope, I'm working on the European scope, Middle East and North Africa, mm-hmm. as well as Latin America.
All right, which in total you have a team of how many people?
Yes, so it's a team about 20 people. In 2 years, we've grown by four. The team is split in three, so one for Europe, one for Latin America, and one for MENA. And in this team, we have account execs mainly, who have to take, of course, sub meeting with large companies, such as if you know, for example, in France, we will talk about Leroy Merlin. In Germany, we will go to the big retail store, Aldi, Lidl, but also automotive, such as Bosch, etc. And in this team, we are bringing for now about 5 million ARR total with the 20 people.
Okay.
The team is splitted in between Paris, Dubai, and also Brazil.
Okay. And compared to, I would say, like the total turnover of Partoo, what's the proportion, if you can share those numbers?
Yes, of course. So 1 year ago, we were about 20% international revenue, and now we are about 30% ARR.
That's nice. Okay.
So 5 million of the expansion markets represent 30% of the total ARR of Partoo.
Okay, so the international proportion of it keeps growing. Congrats, guys. And I'm excited to deep dive more into like how you guys achieved that and what you've been doing. Just maybe right before that, what we usually do here, it's the icebreaker kind of concept. Just imagine you have a dice, you have six faces. Just pick a number.
Five.
Number five. Okay, let me read you that question then. Oh, okay. Who is a person who inspires you and why?
Okay, great question. Thomas Pesquet, I think it's totally different from what we do as sales, but the guy has been landing on several places that he didn't know before, we didn't know before. And I think it's a bit what we are doing in the international markets. We are looking a bit, we are doing some research analysis, we are getting ready for it, and one day up we go, and we have to see how it goes there. We come back a few months later giving some feedback on how it is, what we have to develop, what we have to adapt. So I would say that he's the guy that can inspire and inspire
nice.
Me.
Nice.
For this, a lot of resilience, a lot of preparation that we have to do on our markets.
Very nice. Even sometimes it's not even work related, right? But you just have like impacts from several people in your life who can help you like get better in some areas, or at least inspire you to be better in some of the areas. All right. So maybe now let's move to the topic of today. So Cécile, you know, we had a conversation prior to this recording, and you told me about how you had like several topics, and the one that we agreed on was about like how you took over a multi-market scope, I would say, and then you came in into part two. The team was already existing, but not necessarily structured, and you took it from scratch, and your role was to actually scale it. My first question for you is, why did you pick that topic? Why is that important for you?
Yes, of course. Thank you. So it's a topic which is complex, I would say, because you have to go almost from scratch, even if there is some structure, and scale it. So on different markets also, which bring even more complexity. And I chose this topic because it asks from us a lot of adaptability. And we are working a bit like engineers on a test and learn approach. And I think this is what like boosts me. It's what gives me energy, is that every day will be different. On every market, it will be different. However, mm-hmm. I will always look at what the core market did or what the advanced market did and that succeeded. And it doesn't say that I will use the same thing on other market, but it brings me other creative ideas. And I think that this mix of complex and being innovative that helped me choose this topic and really be motivated and have people in the team motivated also by that.
Okay, for you, I would say, like, what are the key aspects to consider if you really want to scale an expansion sales team, as you've been doing at part two with several markets and, as you mentioned, several maturity levels?
I would say three main levels that we have to achieve. The first one, of course, it can ring a bell to a lot of people, but the cohesion of the team is crucial. We have, as you said, different markets, different maturity, which means the people are in the same team, but they are not living the same thing. Some are most advanced, some are more mature on some topic, others not. So by creating a good cohesion, we share better ideas, we advance faster, and we go further. So the move together to innovate constantly help us to follow the right growth that we have to do for mature markets, expansion market, etc. Mm-hmm. The second, I would say, would be to use a global process local approach. It's what we did at Job Teaser. It's what we do at Part 2 also. It's necessary because we are all looking for profitability in the end. We are a business. And by using the global process local approach, we can make sure that we use the right thing on a global scale, but we also make local adjustment to make sure that we can be seen as an expert in different markets. And as we say in our strategy for 2024 at Part 2, we land and expand. And we land and expand because we have also this local approach. And the third thing, it would be to, like, the crucial thing, and I think it's the most difficult thing that I encountered in different companies, it's to make the other departments understand the different markets, their needs, their capacity, to avoid copy and paste what we did in other markets. it would lead to a bad image, it would lead to demotivation of the team. So this is something really that we have to work for every day to make what we do and what the market needs understandable from other departments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I understood it well, you mentioned three levels: cohesion, global processes and local approach, and to make other departments understand the different markets, how they operate and why it's different from one another.
Totally.
I would like to deep dive a little bit in each of them, Cécile, because especially cohesion. How did you achieve it? Like, how do you achieve cohesion in between different markets? How did you do it?
Yes, of course. So we put in place different actions within the team. The first one is to make sure that we meet every week to speak about different topics. We call it Sales Academy, that we all bring all the sales together and we discuss about three types of topics. It can be about the product, to make sure that we know exactly what we are selling and we are on top of it, we are on top of our innovation. It can be about the sales skills, to make sure that everyone is able to sales and to be reaching an operational efficiency in their sales cycle. And it can be about the market, where people will talk about something they discover, something they encounter, to make sure that we continue being curious about the market advancement. So this is the first thing. The second thing that we do for cohesion is to make sure that everyone can have a talk, can have a time with the team to explain what they are feeling at the moment, how they achieve a highlight of the last week, how they want to talk about a new topic that they read in a book, read in an article, to continue enriching each other with what is happening on markets, on product, like I said, on sales, etc. So to make everyone being involved in the team. So of course, the first 6 months, I was really like the one pushing for this sales academy and finding the mm-hmm. topics. Then when you succeed, it's when each of your sales take over and say, okay, next week I want to talk about this and me, I want to talk about that. It's when I know that nice. I reach the cohesion.
And what kind of format do you have? I'm guessing because you guys are spread out in between different countries, you have like some kind of Zoom or Teams meetings, right? Or how does that usually work?
Yeah, most of them are online meetings. We do one late in the morning and one early in the afternoon to make sure that it's good for both area, because of course, from Middle East to Brazil to Mexico, etc., it's not the same. So we don't have the people always in Mexico, but for example, when they are in shows, when they are meeting clients, it's important that they keep belonging to the team, that they keep being able to be connected. So we have some adjustment, of course, to do. And then we have some meetings that are just all together, or mainly with 90% of the team all together. And for that, we need to find the right moment, of course, because the people working on Latin America will start later than the people working in Middle East, for instance. So it's important to make sure their schedule is also respected, not only for their personal balance, but also to make sure that they can have all their activities in one day. Prospection, for example. If I put all my meeting in late morning, it's not going to be good for everyone. So I have to switch also from one week to another to make sure everyone can do their work and their full cycle.
And how do you keep it, I would say, interesting over the time? Is the change of speaker enough, basically, for people to still be interested over time? Or do you feel that, you know, because sometimes when you implement a routine, then over time it starts fading away and people don't show up anymore. So do you manage to just get the same excitement, I would say, every week? Or
Yes, I agree with you. It's not easy and it's not always as exciting as the previous one. So no, I wish. But sometimes you have also to go to one person and say, listen, it's been twice that you're not listening or you're on your computer at this time. This moment is for you. It's like remind a bit why we have this ritual. It's important. So this is one thing. So no, it's not perfect all the time. The second, I think that help a lot is what I see really is when people bring their topic, when it's coming from the team, it helps keeping it in the long run, because it's something that they will encounter. So if one person encounters it, probably half of the team already encountered it or will encounter it. And so it's important to change from top down to downtown even. Down-top approach, even if I don't like this word, but to make sure that it keeps being good. Maybe a last thing that I can say is that sometimes we try to do it by game. So we invented like a trivial pursuit for part two on different topic. And to do that once a month was the goal. We didn't manage to keep this once a month routine, but it's something that gets that got some excitement. And that we try to do as often as possible.
All right, nice. All right, so, okay, so for you, basically this like sales academy, you manage to try to, I would say, like get the team excited whenever they are the ones owning the topic. It's always more interesting, I would say, for everyone. And you try to gamify at least once in a while so that people keep being engaged, I would say, within the process.
Yes.
You also mentioned that everyone can have a time to express together. And that's also part of how you manage to keep that cohesion going on. Same question. How do you get that across? Is that during some informal time that are set up in between people? Do you bring that during team times? What's the process?
Yes, so we have this sales academy to do that, but it's not only this moment. We have also meeting in between teams, so the European team being together, Middle East team being together, etc. That is a moment where they can talk, because it's a moment where everyone has to say something. And I would say that there are two other ways that are informal where we do it. So there is one which is to take a random coffee every week. You are assigned a person where you take a random coffee with. You talk about whatever you want. You don't have to take coffee. You can go for a walk. You can go for a tea, whatever. But it's something that is outside of a room, a business room, to change also the environment. And we also have one person responsible for events, to go for drinks together, go for a lunch together, that we do about once a month. And this person is responsible to make sure that, okay, it changes every month, the activity. So we make sure that also if one day you don't like going for throwing axes, for example, you will like the other time when we take a tea all together or a beer all together, whatever. It's we go on different different paths, so it suits everyone's personality.
Okay. So you said this one is a monthly stuff, or?
Yes.
Okay. Oops, clear. All right. Okay, so very interesting. As you mentioned, like there are different ways for you guys to manage to keep cohesion. Question on that. When you arrived at part two and, you know, you had to take over the team, until a time where you think that the level of cohesion, you know, was where you wanted it to be, how long did that take you to achieve that?
I would say it took between 6 and 9 months. It was a bit long, I would say. But compared to other experiences that I had, I would say that it took longer because we had people from working on Indian market, Brazilian market, European market, Middle East market. It was so different. Everyone had his own way of doing things. There were not always a meeting where they could speak up And I think that one of the reasons it took that long is because it was so splitted already from the scratch. So we had okay. to put the action that we talked about, Tiffen, just right now. But also, when I talk about restructure, there is also the good and bad side of it, which was that we had to let go some people that were not in line with where we were going also, and to also recruit people that were in line with this new strategy.
Okay, that was actually listening to you answering that question. That was one of my follow-up question into like, how did you manage to get everyone on board? Because that must have been a bit difficult with all those, you know, like different types of personalities, nationalities, cultural differences.
Yes, of course. Talk, being here, being with the team at the office, making sure that we share lunch, that we share this moment of meeting together or coffee together was important. Getting to know them, what are their plans at partout, but what are their plans in life? What do they want to become? What do they want to achieve? To also do like a career path according to their personal needs as well, I think was a big step that helped us. And it's not perfect. It's not perfect like any other relationship. But what I think is really helping us is that everyone is making the effort because everyone is seeing that we all want the same thing. We want to develop ourselves. We want the success of partout. And this is already a common objective. And when we have a common objective, we are running on the right way together.
Okay, so definitely a lot of, I would say, like in person, a lot of, I would say, involvement of yourselves. I'm guessing also of the different managers of the different regions, right, that you are managing to make it happen.
Of course, the managers of the team are playing a big role and a key role because they are even closer to the teams. So one of the key factors, I would say, of this success is to make sure that between managers, me and the manager managing the different regional scope, are aligned on what we want to achieve, how we want to achieve it, and that everyone can also put his footprint on what is the best way to do with my team, with my personality, etc. So everyone as an individual can act with his own values and integrity, but looking at the full scope. And this is, I think, one of the key factors that we can say is crucial for any team, is that you cannot change the people integrity, and you need to use their integrity to boost even more the team, because they will be even stronger when they can develop what they already know or what they are confident with.
I loved what you just said, because basically it's giving broad guidelines, but then leaving space, I would say, for each and everyone to use, as you said, like your own personality, integrity, your values to, you know, manage your whole team and to communicate basically the common goal for everyone. But you can also like make it personal with your own character, I'd say.
Yes, especially on markets like expansion, when you need entrepreneurial mindset. If you don't let them be with their own personality, they will be frustrated and they won't do the job that you're asking. So if you want entrepreneurial mindset to go discover, you have to accept also the brackets, constraints of big personalities or creative ways that maybe you won't see so much in other markets which are already established.
Absolutely. All right, so this was basically the first level, as you mentioned, cohesion. And thanks a lot for expanding on that, because I think it's so crucial. Maybe let's move to the second one. You said that you guys are using global processes, but also making it local, especially, you know, like to develop the land and expand strategy. Could you elaborate a little bit of that? How much is global versus how much is local? If you have like some maybe precise examples for us to better understand.
Yes, I can give you some examples. So for instance, in the process of onboarding a client, we will go on the same different steps. So we will use the same kind of onboarding for all type of region. But inside the large step of onboarding, we will do maybe different ways of contacting the people. Some people, like in Europe, that signed with us will be contacting by email. While, for example, in Middle East or Latin America, WhatsApp is a way that is most efficient to communicate with our clients. So the way of communicating in the process will be different. Same thing, we have like always, you know, a file that we send to our client when they just sign with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the level mm-hmm. of granularity of the information we are giving are different, because on what we are selling, like SEO, the markets are also mm-hmm. different in their maturity. In Europe, we are a little bit more mature than the SEO that we can find in Latin America. So we have to go a bit deeper in the explanation of what you have to do as a client. Another example of global process local approach is the pricing. We know we want mm-hmm. a certain profitability, as we mentioned, but it's important to have the right pricing. So the bundles that we will sell in one region or another will be different, but respecting the same kind of margin that we want to have on a region. So this is another mm-hmm. thing that we can have. And lately, as we want to be even better at prospecting and outbound, we don't contact them the same way, we don't contact them the same hour. So this is different. We have our pitch, the part two pitch, of course, but then we will go a bit for WhatsApp, a bit with GIF as well, that I couldn't imagine in France sending GIF to someone I've never met on their WhatsApp. And this is what we do in Latin America, and that's working. They like that you make something personal very quickly, compared to, for example, the mm-hmm. German market, where we will be sending facts, where we will be very careful about the database that we are using.
And that's actually interesting, because one of the questions I have, because truly, like you mentioned that like global versus local approach, especially towards, I would say, prospects, customers. But one question I have following your last examples that you provided is, how do you internally give objectives, incentivize AEs, account executives? I'm guessing, you know, it's on closing, but if I'm thinking about like BDR, so business development representatives, you know, who generate a number of, I would say, discovery calls, or however you guys call it. Do you have like differences in the way you put objectives in between regions?
So global process, we put the same kind of KPI. The KPIs that we look at are number of meeting taken and amount of pipe creation. And okay. These two KPI are global, like meaning that this is the two that we are following. But then indeed we mm-hmm. bring the local approach where the numbers are different. So in LATAM, Latin America, I will want to have more meeting that in Europe, because I know that mm-hmm. in LATAM, the pipe creation per opportunity will be a bit lower. I know also that people are more likely to accept a meeting, but the closing rate is a bit lower than in Europe. So we look at all this analysis that we did from the past 2 years to make sure that the objective we give are really according to the region, and not everyone has the same objective with number of meeting mm-hmm. to take, with the same pipe creation. That would be unfair as well, because we are not equipped also the same way. We don't have the same database. We don't have the same results. We don't have the same length cycle per region.
Okay. And this view, I would say, an adaptation regarding to the region, is it something that you could set up right off the bat when you arrived and took over that job at part two? Or did you have to have a little bit more data basically, and then maybe face, you know, some frustration here and there to be able to set that up properly?
Yes, second part of your question. I couldn't set it up right away.
Yeah.
I wish I could. So it's it brought frustration indeed. So no, there were different things that we had to do. First is analyze the number. It was not really analyzed. We didn't have a file per region on what is the conversion rate, what is the average basket, what is the length cycle, etc. Okay. We didn't have that. So without this, it was impossible to give the right objective. But we tried to do something with our feelings, with our knowledge of the market, because we hire experts of the market, so it helps also build everything. And then every year, we look at it every month, but every year we also sum up this analysis to see what are we going to set up as objective for the next year, according to what happened the previous year. And we take this every year. We did the same at Job Teaser. It took us, when we were super good at it, I would say it took us 3 years of analysis on the same market to make sure that we could really manage our business plan and our P&L perfectly, I would say.
Okay, clear. Yeah, I'm not that surprised, because usually that's, you know, you have to have a little bit of trial and error, and as you said, collecting data to be able to make this happen. So, all right, okay. So clear on that. So that was basically like the second point, right? When you said you said a number of examples to say the approach of going with global processes, but adapting the approach to be like locally relevant. And the last point you brought that I also wanted you to expand a little bit on was the fact to be able to make everyone or other departments within the company aware of the differences in between markets. You said it was the most difficult part of it. Why and how did you manage to smooth things over?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course, it's the most difficult part, especially when you arrive, because every department has written its own strategy with its own KPI, and you arrive and you have to make sure that it fits the different markets. So of course, at first, it doesn't fit. So I would say that one thing is to really go meet every stakeholders responsible for marketing, for customer care, customer success, finance, etc., to explain a bit how your market are working, what is the trend, which stage we are in, and which stage we want to be in 6 months, 1 year, because it's going to be an evolving process. And I would say that there are some examples that are simple. For instance, in Germany, we used in marketing to follow the same nurturing process as in other European markets. Mm-hmm. However, the business cases, the concrete examples, the facts came very late in the nurturing. And this doesn't match with the German expectations. They want the numbers, they want the KPI quickly. So most of the time, we would nurture with an article first, and then the KPI. And an article, and then the KPI. The KPI has to be very early in the stage, or just after the fact that you're telling them something. So this was a change, for example, for marketing. And then about finance, the way you will talk to your customer, for example, that didn't pay, will be different in Europe, in Middle East, in LATAM. And this is adaptation templates that we had to write, and we had the help of the account exec from the countries to help us also on that. Mm-hmm. But it's a process that you cannot neglect, because it changes a bit what you have to do in the marketing or finance team in terms of routine. But it's super important and it's super critical when we see the results that it can bring afterwards. So this is what I can answer to your question. And maybe last thing that I want to add on that is that it's never finished. It's never over, because you will have changes on your market, like external factor, and yourself, you will be changing. So it's a continuous way of talking with the different departments to make them aware of where do we stand, what I will need from you. One thing that we do at Part 2 is that we have a document where we put a bit like the needs of the expansion team in terms of each department, so they can then, in their OKR, act according to that, and we all move in the same direction.
And on that, because you mentioned that document, and I think it's a great example of how you can keep this alive and basically like moving, and as you said, like a continuous process. Do you have some routines that you set up with the different departments? If yes, how often?
Yes, it depends on the department, but we meet either once a week or once every 2 weeks to discuss the different topic that each department have. I will bring my topic, the marketing leader will bring his or her topic, and then we will discuss like points that are to be discussed, that are to be changed or adapted. And so this is individual, so it's one department to one department. And then, not at my level, but at the level just below, with my managers, they have a monthly meeting with all the department of their region to discuss everything. So what the BDR and the sales did, what the marketing did and what are the results, what the finance did and what is missing, etc. To make sure that we are always like on the right, knowledge of where all departments stand, what are their difficulties, what are the things that are going well.
Okay. So basically what you just said is to make sure, I mean, to try at least to have like other departments aware of what's been done and what's ongoing into different markets. You have some routine that you implemented. So at your level, like once a week or once every 2 weeks with each department, and at the level of your managers, monthly routines where there are like different, all the departments included in that meeting for that specific region, right?
Exactly. So we really work on a regional meeting an area meeting rather than just department to department.
And basically, so because I'm guessing when you arrived, it wasn't that way. What were the biggest roadblocks for you that you encountered before being able to reach that state of where you are at today, where, you know, because like now it's running smoothly, but I'm guessing this wasn't always the case.
Yes, of course. Well, you have people habits. They have their way of running their department. They have their way of doing business that has worked for years on core markets, such as France, for example, which they take for granted. It has worked like this. Let's continue like that. And we are human. We have difficulties doing changes. So this was one of the roadblocks. The second one would be time, not only my time, but also their time, because these changes take time, not only to explain between each other, but also to the team afterwards, and then to be implemented, to be written. So of course, once it's discussed, it's not the end. So this was a second roadblock that I would say. And third, mainly, and it maybe comes back to the first one, but it's, we have done that for years, it works, let's do it again. But this is really hard to make change, and we see this answer way more than usual when we are in phases of difficulties of business. Because of course you don't want to adapt, you don't want to change. You don't have sometimes the energy. You want to focus on what has been working more than trying new things. And so with the economical crisis that we are having right now, I would say in the scale-up environment, it's true that these blockers were a bit more present than at other moments in Partou's life. And sometimes it goes into friction, but we always try to move forward together to reach the goal. So that's what's important, but it's not an easy task for the team members at any level, in any department, of course.
I bet, and I was about to ask you if you have any tips, right, for those who are listening that might be facing same issues, because the one you mentioned that stood out, because we hear it a lot, and I agree with you, it's the one where you said, like, the old way is the right way, right? Like this one at any types of discussion, and especially when we talk about global expansion, this is the one thing you should never focus on, you know, if you want to make it work, because there could be thousands ways of doing it. So how do you enact change, right? Without, being, you know, like too much, basically, and bring everyone around you?
It's not perfect mm-hmm. at all, but explain, show what the team did or what they implemented and what was the result. Mm-hmm. Have other people come and share their experience. So mm-hmm. have individual, for example, in Mexico, tell us how they are doing the business and why we shouldn't do it that way. So also have external help to change also the voice, the speaker that is always explaining indeed. And keep contact with the teams. Make sure to always have lunch with them, the other teams. Make sure to do these weekly or bi-monthly meetings. So you always have a communication ongoing mm-hmm. was important. And we implemented something more at part two level mm-hmm. That is cross-department day out or night out.
Okay.
To make sure that the team know each other, so there is also a complicity, like we said in the cohesion of the team, sales team. We need this cohesion also between other departments working on the same area. This was also, I think, something important, because as soon as people create link together, they understand better each other. And if there is a conflict, they will know, okay, this person is upset right now because mm-hmm. of this, because of that, mm-hmm. rather than just keeping it professional and having difficult times when there is a conflict.
And how often does the team meet all together, I would say, at a part two level and at the expansion team level?
At a part two level, so we have one usually in October with all part two mm-hmm. all together. That happens. So usually in October, that we have that, and then we have also. So it's per office, but we have also a Friday meeting in Paris where everyone meets for half an hour, and then you can mm-hmm. stay for some beers, for some time to discuss in the office. Okay. And we have this day out that I was talking, cross department. Mostly this one is every quarter that we achieve this. And at an expansion level, when we talk expansion all together, we implemented something which is back to work in September and launch of the year in January, where we discuss what is the strategy for expansion, what are the things that will change for each department.
And is that something you guys meet in real life, like all together, or is that still a hybrid kind of experience?
As much as we can, we do it in real life for the events that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Of course, for the person, for example, my manager is based in Dubai. Mm-hmm. He comes every quarter, so he cannot be at everything. But every quarter, he has 1 week, 2 weeks, he can choose to come in Paris to be with the majority of the team.
Thanks a lot, Cécile, you know, for what you shared, because this was so insightful to understand how you took over a multi-market scope and how you managed to structure it from scratch and scale it. The three levels that you said, again, just to sum it up, was cohesion, how it's important to get everyone on board and in between each others. And you mentioned several examples. And sometimes even if you have to also go through maybe letting go of some people and hiring new ones, like this is a very important step to move forward. The second was about global processes versus like a local approach. As you said, there are a number of adjustments that needs to be done at different levels. And this is for the clients, but this is also internally towards the team, so that even the KPIs are adjusted so that it makes sense and it's relevant for everyone. And the last one, as you mentioned, that was also the most difficult, was to make sure that every department within the company knows what's going on in between the different markets, so that we can also make the different adjustments and we really get everyone on board. And as you said, there are different ways of doing it, implementing routines, having documents that are accessible from everyone so that they know what's going on, sharing the knowledge. And one of the things that I loved also that you share is the human being part was something critical, and patience, and I would say repeatability, explanation, and sharing of all the experiences was very key to make it happen. Would you say that it's a good sum up?
It's a great sum up, Tiffen.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you so much.
Amazing. No, thank you for everything that you shared. Maybe before moving to the last part of every episode, which is the Oops, My Bad Time, do you have, because we mentioned a lot of hurdles and difficulties, but I would say besides the ones that you mentioned, like what was the hardest part for you during that mission so far, you know, of like scaling the international sales team?
I would say that it's the most difficult, but also the most rewarding, is making sure you can have happy people in your team.
Of course,
their motivation will be up and down, always, as yours or mine. Mm-hmm. But really, I would say there is a lot of changes that are their changes, there are the company changes, the market changes. And you have to play with that all the time. I would say that is the most difficult, because as a manager, you care for the well-being of your people. Mm-hmm. You care for giving them the best tools to succeed. And when you see them done, I think it's the difficult part. But as I said, it's also very motivating, because you know you can do something, or at least you try to do something and you can change that, which is super rewarding.
I'm 100% with you there. And same, do you have a few tools or a few tips to share on that one? Because the motivation one is a big, big part. And as you said, like one of the hardest things to get right.
Well, I had some training about motivation that I try to do to my team. Uh-huh. So they know how I function. And I believe that when they know how I function and when they know how they function, thanks to this workshop, mm-hmm. it helps us already being on the same ground, because we know we want to talk about motivation. We know we can talk about motivation and we use the same kind of vocabulary. I think this is very helpful. Tip is to make sure your team knows that it's something that is important, mm-hmm. and a workshop can help. We also put something in our one-to-one to discuss every month or every quarter, depending on the people, of how is their mood of today, of the period, what is changing, what we can work on. And the fact that we have it written on the document makes it like we cannot forget it. Same as feedback, actually, which goes with motivation for me. Mm-hmm. If you give feedback to people regularly, it will help. So same thing, 2 weeks without a feedback is not normal. After 2 weeks, if you don't have a feedback, good or bad, to give to someone or to receive, it means that there is something not going well and maybe something will explode. So we are looking into that also in the one-to-one that we have. And last thing, of course, proximity, the mm-hmm. coffee, the text message, being here for the team, creating something more personal with the individuals.
All right. Nice tips. As you mentioned, writing, you know, like or at least like expressing the mood, writing them, the feedback, as you said, not going 2 weeks without feedback because it's supposed to be abnormal. I love that one. And the last one, so really being close to the team. Very insightful. Thanks a lot, Cécile. And if that's okay with you, let's move to the last part of every episode, which is the Oops, My Bad Time.
Whoops, my bad.
Which is basically a few minutes for the guests at the end to share a big mistake or a setback that has occurred during the expansion journey. Well, you know, because there are always a lot of them. So perhaps, do you have one story to share with us of something that maybe didn't happen according to plan that we can learn from, Cécile?
Yes, I thought of two potential examples. I will choose one, and mm-hmm. I would say that when I arrived to part two, I wanted, you know, everything perfect, everything to go fast, to really make an impact quickly. So I told the manager who hired me, I told him, you know what, I'm arriving in 3 months, but let's meet every 2 weeks. And let's do the same with the manager below me. We meet every 2 other weeks and we start working together.
Okay.
So with my manager on top, it happened super well. It helped us, of course, take some advance to when we really started working together. But with the manager that was below, that I had to manage, it was a bit more difficult because we didn't know each other. I was a bit, you know, taking his position, taking his scope. Mm-hmm. And I think the big mistake there was to go a bit too much into professional before going to personal. We should have gone for lunches together, to coffees together, before getting each other, before going into the recruitment process that we are doing, the way we are animating the team, etc. Mm-hmm. And this, finally, I would say, delayed a bit our way of working because the trust was not there. So by wanting to do good for both sides, we didn't take the time to create the trust first. Mm-hmm. And this was, I think, a mistake from my part because I'm the one coming in that I wouldn't do again. And it's something that I do with my team. Let's build the trust and then let's build together. And this time I didn't do it. Too excited by the job, too excited to help. But I think I wouldn't do that again now. I would be more careful. And it's an advice I give also to the managers that I hired to make the team grow. I tell them, don't, for 1 month, when you arrive, your first month, you don't manage your team. You go to get to know them. You go to get to understand the different department, other people, but you don't do the one-to-one with them. You don't ask them to report something to you. Just create the relationship, see how they work, what they need, etc., but on personal, professional life. And for the two managers that I hired, they were very thankful to this advice, I guess, because they were like, you know, Cécile, I want to ask them for reporting. I want to go faster, etc. But I know that if I do it, I'm burning myself and I'm also losing some credibility because I'm not there yet. And so for me, it's oops, my mistake, oh, oops, my bad time, but a super good result afterwards on me, but also on the team that that I build around me.
I just love what you said. And I think my takeaway on what you said, Arch, it's kind of a motto where you said, let's build the trust first and then let's build together. Love it. So true.
Yes, yeah, sometimes we just want to go too fast and we forget.
Yeah, but absolutely. But thank you so much for all the insights you shared. I'm sure that our listeners have tons to learn from today. I know that I did. So thank you a lot. And just have to tell you until next time then.
Thank you, Tiffen.
Thank you so much for listening until the end. If you liked this episode, don't forget to subscribe to not miss the next one. And please share it with 2 people in your network. This is how this podcast gets more visibility and can help more of us to work on international markets. See you soon!